This is George Early from the NICAP Connecticut affiliate. The recordings that you are about to hear were made on Saturday, October 28, 1967, by Mr. Joe Barbaret of WDRC News here in Hartford, with Mr. Stanley Orr of Newfield, New York, concerning the sightings in that area. Dr. Levine called back to Joe Barbaret after I had talked with Dr. Saunders. I do not know what follow-up has been made subsequent to the University of Colorado getting these recordings from Joe. Presumably they got in touch with the Syracuse subcommittee head, James Harris. I was unable to reach him, so that when I talked to Dave Saunders, I gave him Harris's phone number and his address there in Syracuse, hoping that they would be able to get together and Harris could start the interrogation of Orr prior to the arrival of the University of Colorado team if they did decide to send some people out in the field.
Stanley, this is Joe Barbaret at WDRC Radio in Hartford, Connecticut.
WDRC Radio in Hartford, Connecticut, sir?
Yes, yes. I was just talking to George Early from NICAP.
Yes, sir.
And he apparently was talking to you earlier today.
Yes, I called him about an hour ago.
Yeah. Well, George and I work very closely on UFO reports, and we're extremely interested in them here at the radio station. And I was wondering if you would like to talk to me about these sightings that you have reported up there.
I have no objection, sir. I know what you want to know, but what I've seen, as far as I'm concerned, is the most inexplicable, frightening series of events in the last four nights that I've ever gone through. Now, we've got a 10 and a 12-year-old boy here in Newfield, New York, who have seen something which I think that very few people have been, as far as I'm concerned, privileged to witness. They looked inside of a spacecraft two nights ago and saw the occupants. They had a very clear view of it, and it interfered with their walkie-talkie radio, and we had one fly over us, and four of us in the backyard, and flashing red, white, and green lights, and a brilliant white beam shot right off the middle of it. It got right over the top of us. And I could tell you the whole chronological resume of what's happened. It might take me 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know if you've got that much time or not.
Go ahead. Why don't you run right through it?
Well, it all began Monday night, 7:45, when I'm a sales representative, and I was coming from Dryden, New York, which is 12 miles from Ithaca. And I got adjacent to the Tompkins County Airport, and I noticed two red lights which seemed to be hanging in the sky, about 200 feet off the highway. And at the time, at that moment, that fleeting moment, I thought it was a tower they put lights on to keep the planes away. And I drove by it, and I had my stereo on in my car. And I looked over my left shoulder, and I noticed that the lights began to move, and they passed me. And this time, there was a third light on top, a red flasher. And these lights were awfully bright. And I reached over and turned my stereo down, and I couldn't hear any noise. And it struck me, it didn't appall me at the time, because I was near an airport, and I just associated it with it, and I thought it was a Mohawk plane taking off. And then I watched it disappear in the distance, and I kind of dismissed it, And later it began to bug me. The next day I called the airport and asked them if they had a plane with only red lights on, and they said, no, they didn't. Every plane they have has got a white beacon and a green light on one of the wings. One wing is red and one wing is green, and they have another red light on. And, of course, there was nothing taken off at that particular time. I asked them that. And then I called again and spoke with a mechanic up there and describe what I'd seen, and he said it sounded like nothing they had. I thought, well, gee, I saw something, big deal. So, 2 days later, Wednesday, I was up in Newfield at my girl's house, and we were talking, and she said, did you hear about the boy in Newfield who saw a flying saucer? I said, no, I didn't. And I went down, I said, I think I'll get on and talk to him. And I went down and I spoke with him. I spoke with several boys, and they told me this unbelievable story. At the time, it was unbelievable, but I believe it now. They were out and back, and they noticed red lights hanging in the sky with flashers coming around the rim. They described it as a rim, hovering in back of their house. This was Wednesday night, about 10 o'clock, and they were playing with walkie-talkie radios. The thing went around the house at an altitude of about 200 feet, making absolutely no noise, crossed the street over a tavern called the White House Inn in Newfield, and hovered over a house next to it, tilted down at about a 45-degree angle, and this boy stood right on the porch, two boys stood right on the porch, looked up into it, said there were two square windows divided by a metal bar. They looked inside of this thing. Two of the weirdest-looking beings, this boy describes it, and you wouldn't believe his description, were looking at him. he saw behind them and saw a control panel slanted against the far wall with a with what he described were red, white, and green lights flashing in sequence across it. And all the way around the rim of this thing, there were red, white, and green lights flashing. On the bottom, there were red, white, and green lights, which were stationary, like a landing gear. He didn't use the word term landing gear. He just said it was something on the bottom of it. This boy drew an astounding sketch of this thing. On the top was an antenna sticking out. And now here's the remarkable part of the story. I mean, the whole thing is remarkable, but here's another highlight, you might call it. They had their walkie-talkies. He turned it on, and he pointed it at the spacecraft. You know, it's a wonderful thing, a young boy's mind. They didn't register fear. They were just, you know, intensely curious. They eyed it around the house. He pointed the walkie-talkie up, and as he pressed the on button, this thing began to oscillate. And then the walkie-talkie just screamed. And he left it on, and this thing oscillated, and all of a sudden it took off and left. And the next night it came back, but it didn't come close enough for an occupant sighting. It just circled the house. Anyway, he told me this Wednesday, and Wednesday night we came. I had brought a friend of mine up here who had never believed in him. We sat out here and back, and we watched the most fantastic spectacle I have ever seen in my life. We saw some come in low with red, white, and green flashes. We saw some that just missed the treetops that were red, bright red, over the top of us, going due north. Every one of these things had a pattern, were these monstrous glowing globes, which just a steady course, like they really knew where they were going. We looked up to the right, way up high, was this great big globe, and dropping off from it was a white flasher, and it just, like it was, like a plane. I was aboard an aircraft carrier in the Navy. It looked like a plane taking off the deck of a carrier in a can, and then it disappeared. Then a jet fighter came through, and it, God, what can I tell you? One hung over the trees, a glowing globe, and it woke this boy up. A dog was barking, and he went to the window and told me, Larry, he's always dreaming. I've got two photographs of the most unbelievable footprints you've ever seen. It's half as big as mine. I take a size 10 and a half. This is half as big as mine, and it's got splayed toes way out and little narrow high instep and a little teeny heel on it. And it was walking along with a horse's track off the main highway up here. And this went on last night, too. What was I going to tell you? Oh, we were out in the backyard Wednesday night. And over comes this thing with all the flashes on, and it's just showing up. We got right over the top of us, and it's bright beacon, brightest light I've ever seen on any craft, beamed right out of it for about 3 seconds, and then just, which one? I'm sorry, that was Thursday night. I'm very sorry, that was Thursday night. And yesterday afternoon, my girlfriend and I stood out in the yard here, and we saw, and I know you won't believe this, I saw with my own eyes a craft that I would estimate to be a half a mile long. It looked like two aircraft carriers in broad daylight, and it was right silhouetted against this blue sky, and it just disappeared into some clouds. And simultaneously, further overhead, there was a jet, and this jet was leaving a long contrail. And this thing was a solid silver object. It looked to be absolutely enormous. I just can't believe anything that big could be in the air. And this has gone on for four. This is remarkable. Last night, mind you, My girlfriend's sister and her husband had been up here, and they witnessed all this aerial phenomenon, and her husband came up for the explicit purpose of ridiculing us. And this guy was so frightened when he left here at 11 o'clock that he was almost afraid to walk outside to his car. They got in the car and drove to Ithaca. 15 minutes later, the phone rang. His wife was in hysterics. He could hardly speak. They had encountered a monstrous object hanging over some houses in Ithaca with stationary lights, and as soon as they pulled off the highway to look at it, the lights went out. And we drove down there later, and every garbage can in the area was tipped over, only where that thing was hovering, just like some massive disturbance had knocked them all over the place. And there were no other garbage cans on the street, like if it had been a wind, you know, it wouldn't have had that effect.
Has there been any other reaction from anybody else in Ithaca that you know of?
Sir, I called the New York State Police. What night, John? When did that trooper come up here? Thursday night. He got here about 9:15, and he got out of his car, and he looked at us like, you know, with this incredulous look like we're all insane. And I said, yeah, I know what you were going to say. I said, but just stand here, will you please, for a few minutes. And he came on back of the house, stood there for approximately 5 minutes, and one went over, a big glowing one, kind of going north, you know. I said, what do you think that is? He didn't say anything. His mouth just dropped. And then at the same time, my girlfriend's sister was screaming around the house. We all ran around the house, including the trooper. And coming in low over Route 13 was this brilliant, bright red glowing object with unbelievably red lights on it, and it just missed the tops of the hills and disappeared. At the same time, to our left comes this white flasher with this tremendous flashing sequence of red, green, and white all over it, And that cop, he couldn't say a thing. I said, you know, I think they're landing on Connecticut Hill. Connecticut Hill is a desolate area where they hunt deer. It's about 100 square miles and nothing. And he told me, and I quote, he says, I'm not going up there. He got in his car and he drove away. Later, I called up. Somebody called, I can't remember if it was me or somebody, but the official explanation he gave them, he had seen jet planes on maneuvers. I called Hancock Air Force Base, Syracuse, New York. I said, I told him everything that I've told you. And you know what that guy told me? He says, we'll file it through official channels. And I said, well, thanks a hell of a lot. And I hung up. And that was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the jet plane did come through here that night. It came in real low, and I know a jet fighter. It was a jet fighter, and it swooped right through, and it circled, and then it disappeared. And at the same time that jet fighter was coming through, there was another UFO higher going the opposite direction. And last night, I didn't see this personally, but the boys who looked into the one Tuesday night said that they had witnessed a jet being followed by a UFO close behind. And I think I've covered everything that's of any significance, sir.
There's one question I have. And it's not that I have any doubt at all about what you told me. But there's one thing that bothers me,
okay.
Mr. Orr, and that is this. How come you didn't take any pictures of any of these things?
Well, I'm no photographer. I've tried. You saw them through binoculars last night. But look at you. Look up at the sky. You can't even. It's just a little teeny camera. I tried to get somebody with a Geiger counter or anybody cameras, anything. And nobody's interested. They all scoff at you and ridicule you. You can't see anything through that viewfinder. It's nothing. You look up in the sky and you see nothing but black. It's just a little teeny camera.
In as much as all these sightings took place over a number of days, I thought maybe you might have a camera or somebody with a camera there. This is, of course, what we need, you know, is to get somebody working, is to get some pictures. And let them try and dispute that.
I've got photographs of a footprint. The footprint is gone now. It's been obliterated. But
you do have the. Have you had the prints? Have you had the
camera? There's 4 photographs. It's in color too. There's 4 pictures to be taken yet. But one thing is, everything is of significance, of course. But these things have a definite pattern. The great big glowing ones go north. The little red ones miss the trees. Flashers go everywhere. Just like they know exactly what they're doing.
Newfield is right near Ithaca, right?
Yes, sir. It's 7 miles south of Ithaca on Route 13.
And you say Connecticut Hill, is that what it's called?
Connecticut Hill is a desolate area which it extends from Newfield right on back around.
Is there any water around there?
Yes, sir. There's Keuta Lake. There's Cayuga Lake. A woman down in Cayuta has seen one of these things. I tried to talk to her on the phone. She wouldn't even talk to me. She said I got to me through my girlfriend's mother. She works for her. She said she saw a bright glowing object, so did her son, and they wouldn't talk about it. But nobody seems interested down here, and I'm appalled, especially at not what I've seen. You know, I've seen things, okay, a lot of people have seen them. But what this little Donnie Chazar and Pat Crozier saw, 10 and 12 years old, as far as I'm concerned, I would think that anybody with any semblance of intelligence of the scientific nature would want to talk to them.
Has there been any press reports at all about this?
I don't know what's the sense of it.
Have you talked to anybody from the newspapers? Or?
No, sir. Nope.
Am I the first reporter you talked to?
First reporter? You're the first report I've talked to. I talked to Dr. Condon from, not Dr. Condon, Dr. Levine from Dr. Condon's staff in Colorado called.
Oh, yeah, from the Colorado Project?
Mr. A. Aarons called me. I spoke with him. You know, they're out in Colorado and we're here.
Right.
I spent $50 in phone calls on this thing. It's just up to me that a situation like this can exist, and it's the implications are rather startling. And everybody just sits around on their duff and takes this apathetic attitude, you know, including the police, including the Air Force. The sheriffs laugh at me. I called them, too. Ho, 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 he said over the phone.
Yeah.
But it's not funny as far as I'm concerned. I haven't slept for 2 nights.
That's why I'm so disappointed that you weren't able to get some photographs of this, because it sounds to me like you really have something here, and with photographs you can jam those laughs right down their throats, you see.
Well, what do they look like? Just a piece of light in the sky.
If you had something, if you got a picture of this thing that looked like 2 battleships...
That would have been a beauty. God,
that's what I mean.
It was unbelievable, and I could have photographed that, too. It was in broad daylight. I screamed to Sandy. I said, Sandy, come here, quick.
That's why I thought you might be carrying a camera around with you at all times.
The camera was right inside the house. If I'd only had the camera, I could have snapped it. It was visible for a half a minute.
This is what you need, and if you had that with a jet overhead, my God, you know, this would be tremendous.
That would have showed up something, certainly, because it was a definite solid object. My first fleeting impression was, when I saw it, that it was a jet leaving a contrail. And I looked and looked and looked, and it was an absolute silver solid object, and then I heard this roar overhead, and up goes this great big jet overhead leaving a contrail a mile long. The thing just kept going to my right, steady, and then it went into this huge, it was all cloudy to my right, and I was cursing the clouds, quite frankly.
Well, if you had a photograph of that.
I had a photograph.
Yeah.
That thing was so, your name was what, sir?
Joe Barbaret.
Mr. Barbaret.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was so big, I can't even believe anything that big could fly. It looked like it was a half a mile long.
All right.
I know you don't believe that.
Let me say this, that I have no reason to dispute or doubt you at all. Absolutely none. And I, my mind is open enough to accept any of this and all of it.
I just wish you or somebody with some influence or something. That's like I called Mr. Fuller this morning. I spoke with his wife. Somebody could come here and talk to these two boys. They've really got something to offer. What they saw was, you ought to hear the description. It's incredible what they saw. So close, 200 feet away, looking right at them. They saw the controls. They saw the control panel, the flashing lights, the buttons, the windows. Everything was hung right there in the air, just out, right across the street from them.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
The people in it. You ought to hear the description of the people in it. You can't take this boy. He almost cried when I laughed at him the first time he told me the story. I didn't believe it, quite frankly.
Uh-huh. That's incredible.
And
absolutely.
The walkie-talkie, he said that thing just vibrated, oscillated all over the place when he turned that walkie-talkie on.
Hmm. All right. Well, look, do you have any objection at all to my using anything that you said this afternoon?
No, sir.
To me?
No.
And how about your name?
My name is Orr. O-R-R.
Do you have any objection to my using your name?
No, sir.
Okay. And you are from Ithaca?
Yes, sir.
And you're a salesman?
Yes, sir.
How old are you, Mr. Orr?
33.
All right, I don't know how much I can do on it, but we can make some noise down here anyway. And I'll see if I can't get the wire services involved in this. You may be getting some phone calls.
I see.
Okay.
For a change, I'm not paying for them. All right, that's okay with me.
George Early, who is extremely interesting and who is also very influential in NICAP, and who is as knowledgeable as anybody on UFOs, is extremely interested also, but of course he's extremely busy too.
Yes, sir.
Is there an ICAP organization in Ithaca?
No, sir.
Not that I know of.
I didn't even check.
All right.
I don't believe there is, though. Yeah, you say the word NICAP in Ithaca, and they look at you like you've spoken in a foreign language.
Well, I'm quite confident that somebody from NICAP is going to be in touch with you soon, and somebody's going to investigate this. So no question about it.
I think it should definitely be investigated, sir.
Well, let me thank you very, very much for talking to me.
Yes, sir.
And
incidentally, everything I've seen, other people have seen with me. I mean, we're not all blind, and I want you to know I've got corroborating witnesses. You don't have to take my word for it.